It's great hearing the men come up here and sing, wasn't it?
Amen.
Love hearing the testimony of the men. And we also have another opportunity at this moment to hear testimonies of some men. Bob, are you going to be sharing, or is Ray? Ray, come on up. We're going to be talking about shoeboxes, right? Samaritan purse.
Samaritan purse. If you're familiar
with... Come on up here by the microphone.
Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse each year sends shoeboxes filled with toys and goodies to children all over the world. And this year, you're going to get to participate in that. We have ordered 100 boxes, shoeboxes, that we will fill up, each of you will fill up. So think of that, 100 boxes. Now look around you how many people are here, okay? 100 boxes. We're going to challenge you to each fill out one for a boy and one for a girl, and then bring it back, and then help you back on the 16th of November. The box is not in yet. Hopefully next Sunday you can pick them up. What they want in the boxes is new toys, maybe hygiene things, school supplies and so forth. No war toys or anything like that. But and you can also put in personal items like picture of yourself, or a note of encouragement, or some Christian thing. And if you go online at Samaritan's Purse, you can set it up so that you can be find out where your particular box has gone in the world, and I guess they email it back to you or something like that. You can decorate the box, and then you can have a label. You pick out whether it's a boy or a girl and the age. The ages are 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14. You can go online to Samaritan's Purse. If not, there's brochures in the back you can pick up about how to do this. And if you want to pray about it, we even have a prayer card, a little a bookmark you can use. And they asked for a $7 donation. It's a donation to offset the shipping. And you can put that in the box, and you can make the checkout to Samaritan's Purse. Anything else?
Before you go.
Yeah.
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
How did this all start with Samaritan's Purse? I know that Franklin Graham's involved in it, but
I don't know how.
Was it just the need? They saw a need around the world.
Yeah.
Of individuals, and so this is an opportunity to give directly to them.
Right.
We actually know that these boxes get to them.
Right. Samaritan's Purse is a great organization. I trust them very much to do the right thing, get to the right people.
So it is an opportunity to give to the poor and those that are needy, as well as spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel and the Christian love.
Right. I sure appreciate that.
Thank you
very much. And we have someone else that's been ministering, busy in the prisons. We've been sending him off to prison. And come on up, Craig, and we appreciate your ministry. I told him, I said, we'd love to just have you talk about the ministry. And I didn't actually tell him what to say. We're going to do a little talking together, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I don't know if many know how you even got into this ministry, a prison ministry. You're actually the chaplain.
Yes, sir.
There at?
Lottie.
Right. Yes, sir. So how did you get into this? Is this something you aspire to?
No. I had recently retired, and Pastor Gary and I had met at Panera's, and we talked about two things that day. One was that everybody needs to be doing something, especially retired folks, and the fact that the spirit and the flesh were always at odds. And I was driving down from there, 3rd Street. I was headed back north. And there came an ad on the radio for prison ministry. And I said, well, there's one thing I would never do. And once I realized what I had said, I started laughing. And I was still laughing. I drove over to Beaches Chapel because they have a prison ministry. And I said, what do you got? I want to join you. The ministry. And they said they had to vet me and make sure that I wasn't crazy. And the jury's still out on that, but they allowed me to do it. And I did it for a couple of years, and Pastor Gary and I talked. I said, I knew it was a good thing. I didn't have that real, it was never really established firm in me that that's what I was going to do. But over time, God really put it on my heart that this is really where he wants me to be long-term. And I'm amazed and honored and shocked. I mean, there's times I was studying at my desk and I was sore from sitting all day and I was tired of reading and things were getting blurred. And I picked up my radio and my keys and I just started wandering around. And the fact that I could wander around the prison, it just blows my mind. You know, I went to the gym and found the sullenest old fella, and I said, I'm going to sit next to him until he starts talking to me. And that, to me, is just fun. And then I went to the infirmary and met with a guy that was in there sick, and we just talked for a while. I shared my testimony, and I thought, what a cool job is that? I mean, that's like, you know.
So you've actually found freedom in prison.
I have. Absolutely. I have found a lot of free men in prison, and I've found a lot of prisoners on the street.
Right.
There really is a freedom that there is they're con men, you know, and the vast majority of them are just playing a game. But there are, as Paul told Timothy, you know, there are men that are worth digging out and looking for and investing in those men. And it's been a great.
You've had many touching moments.
I have.
Is there one in particular that you could share with us about?
Well, there's one guy, and his name's Eddie Vayu, and I want to share his name if anybody wants to pray for him. I wish you would. I've been ministering to him for years, and he's from Boston. He's really tough. He's a hard guy, and he just doesn't seem to get it. And one night we were, I was sitting there talking to him, and I was talking to God. Said, I've got 2.5 years invested here. I'm out. I didn't ask God. I was telling God, I'm out of here. I'm making an exit strategy. I'm finding a way out of this relationship. I'm done. I've wasted my time. And he was talking to me. He said he was in an argument with an officer about putting his shirt on. He said, he told me to put my shirt on. It's 98 degrees. What am I supposed to do? And I lost it. And I said, put your shirt on. It's in rocket science. Just do what you say. And then I realized I was, because I know when I start pointing, I need to back off. So I physically sat down and put my fingers away. And I said, you know, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with Scripture. What do you mean? I said, Romans 13, all authority. And everything he said, I said, all authority. I was arguing. I was not. What my spirit was probably, but, and then all of a sudden he got it. And he just, you know, he just was amazed. He said, I get it. And I go, wow. You know, and I get up to leave and he said, you know, you messed me up. And I go, thank you. That's my job. And we walked out different doors that day, which we almost never do. And the volunteers walked out one door, and he'd walked out another door. And he came up to the fence to tell me one more thing. He'd gotten out of line. And he got up to the fence, and an officer told him, get back in line. And he turned around and got back in line. And I thought, but it's usually when I see something like that, it's at the point where I said, I'm done. I'm out of here. And
that's a giant leap for that guy.
It is. It really is. He's not our Eddie. He's the different Eddie. But, you know, he's the guy that asked me to bring him in dice. And I'm going, as a volunteer, I go, how does this man not get this? You know, you know, it just, it's like such a vast chasm. But he's got a couple more years to go. And I believe God's working on him.
Proof positive that if you're faithful in little, God will give you much. And mm-hmm. You never thought that you'd be chaplain.
Never. Prison. No, even when they mentioned it, and it had been mentioned over the years, it like just didn't seem to fit. And when they offered me the job, I my thought was, I'm not qualified. There's no way. And I asked them where, and they told me about a state job, and I had a state job within 48 hours, which just doesn't normally happen. But he asked me if I'll be considered. He said, do you want a job, young man? And I said, no, I'm a happy man. I do not need a job. And he asked me if I'd be a chaplain. And I sat down and I was thinking, I'm not qualified. And so I asked him where, because I was expecting whatever he said. I was going, oh, man, I'd love to, but that's too far. And he said, Lottie, and I've been going there for 5 years. And it was, and I really felt that God had boxed me in. And he said, listen, you know, you don't have a leg to stand on. So I told him, all I know for sure is I cannot tell you no. And I got up and went off to the wings. I was at Florida State Prison. And
I think Moses said he wasn't qualified.
Yeah, I hear you. But I think from a selfish standpoint, and ministry can be very selfish. It honestly can be. even though you don't do it for selfish reasons. But so many things in my life that I had considered failures and a waste of time over the years, God is opening my eyes to how that is, how it was valuable. And I negotiated a contract with the union for 3 weeks, and it was literally all day, 55 minutes, 5 minute break, 55 minutes. And I kept telling God the whole time, why am I here? There's no value in this, you know. We ironed out a contract, and 2 weeks later, I left, and I knew 3 years later it was going to be thrown out, and they're going to do it all over again. And I was frustrated. I said, God, why in the world am I here? There's no fruit, no value, there's no reason. And God remained quiet. And that was 15 years ago. It was quite a long time ago. I chalked it up as a waste of time. And I was in a class with about 40 angry men, which happens to be my comfort zone. I got 10 guys on this side arguing one point, and 10 guys the other, and I'm standing in the middle. And it was God just showed me asking that question, and I go, oh, okay, I understand now. And so
you were in training back then.
Yeah, right, and I just didn't realize it. And so that's from a selfish standpoint. There's so many things that God is showing me. You know, I go, why did I waste that time? And I'm seeing it now. And so that's been very helpful.
It's amazing to see hardened criminals soften. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think it's impossible.
Yeah. And when I took the job, I had to stop volunteering at other prisons. And two of the guys that I saw at Florida State, one is in for murder. He went in at 17. He's doing life. And the other one was in for attempted murder. And I think he was doing 20 years. And they cried when I told them I couldn't see him anymore. And it was, we were one-on-one. There was nobody else around. They weren't trying to show off for anybody. And in prison, when you say, I'm gone, I won't see you, it's not, it's final. It's permanent. You walk out the door. And, you know, one of the guys that I really cared about has been transferred away. And so it's just, there's a real sense of, if I don't see you, I know there's a chance I can run into Dave in town, you know. These guys are just gone. It's done. And you do see a softer side.
And the Lord has really given you heart for these guys. I mean,
who
would have guessed that you would have been so emotionally involved? Because I know that you have in many of them.
Yeah, it is. It is utterly amazing. People keep asking me, well, how do you drive an hour? It's an hour there and an hour and a half back. And I promise you, it seems like 5 minutes. You know, I mean, I'm there, I'm home. You know, I don't think about it. You know, I just don't. And it is God. It's really been more than, you know, my daughter came home for 8 months. You know, I told it was more than I would have had the nerve to ask God for, and I feel the same way with this. It's just more than I would have felt I could have asked for. It just,
well, retired means that you get a chance to be tired all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what's really cool about that is I retired on Labor Day, and I went back to work on Labor Day in a job I wasn't asking for 7 years later. You know, like God said, okay, that's a season. I get back to work. So,
it's, and Kim Fair says, man, he's happy all the time.
Yeah, I'm exhausted all the time too. But it's a good time. But if I can take another minute,
sure.
Everybody in this room, everybody in Family Bible is very much a part of what I'm doing. I promise you guys. You know, Mary makes my lunch every day. You know. And Kim Fair gave me the books to go through to get my first class together. And Steve Toole wrote out a thing on Genesis, like a business plan that became a class. And, of course, you pointed me in the right direction. Connie gave me the first clothes that I brought in to JREC was from Connie. You know, and just and the other Kim Phelps, you brought the second bunch of clothes, you know, and shoes and everybody. And I think, I think of Dave. When he talks about doing things as to the glory of God, and a miter joint is just as important as making a point in a class. And it's just, and it's not because you want to get the cabinet right. It's not because I want to impress somebody, because I want to honor my Father, you know. And so it's been everybody, and I could go around the room, everybody has paid into this ministry. And so it's not a me thing, it's an us thing. It really is. And I'm beholden to you. I really am, all of you. I really am. Stella made a cake for us one time. We had a meeting, you know. And so y'all all played into it, and I appreciate that. So
there weren't any keys in that.
Pardon?
There weren't any keys in that.
No,
cake.
No, no. Thank you, brother.
Well, Father, we want to give you thanks for opportunities and for these men that love you. It's just good seeing these men stand up for Jesus. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.